Welcome to the Brute Strength Podcast, bringing you worldwide experts from all areas of health and fitness. We cover training, nutrition, coaching, and mindset. Welcome your host, strength and conditioning coach, 2012 and 2013 CrossFit Games champ, Michael Cashew. Mind, body, brute.
This is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. Today, April 2nd, we have released our Brute Gymnastics Only program. Since we started in 2014, this has been hands down the most popular and effective part of our training programs for competitors. One thing that I really love that the gymnastics doctor, Nick Sorrell, taught me and teaches all of our athletes is we're trying to teach you how to build or how to be a carpenter rather than build a birdhouse. On one hand, we could give you the perfect directions on how to build a birdhouse, and you could go out there and execute those plans. If, on the other hand, we teach you how to be a carpenter, then you can build anything you want with precision. What a lot of people do is that they'll teach you how to do a muscle up or a handstand push up. But then when you have to walk on your hands, you have to do other skills, you have to do things under fatigue, you can't do them as well because you don't have the underlying foundation, the fundamentals down. So in our training program, in our gymnastics program, we start by laying a very, very wide base. We teach you the fundamentals of artistic gymnastics as well as gymnastics for the sport of fitness, while also doing the higher level skills that you'll be doing that you need to compete. That way, no matter what the sport throws at you, no matter how fatigued you are, you can succeed. This program is it's a 20 level system. Everyone starts at the same level, level one, and it is a go at your own pace kind of thing. It takes most people about 3 weeks to get through one level. And we've had several D1 gymnasts that have not made it past level 14. So we firmly believe if you can make it through our entire training program, you will be hands down the best gymnast in the sport of fitness. You can find out more about the program at www.brutestrengthtraining.com/brutegymnastics. Now, I've seen people go from, on one end of the spectrum, go from doing zero pull-ups to being able to do several unbroken butterfly pull-ups. And then on the higher end, I've seen people go from doing 10 muscle-ups in a row to being able to do 18 muscle-ups. So this is for every different skill level and every different experience level. There are three big training sessions per week that last 15 to 25 minutes. And there are two supplemental workouts, which are gymnastics specific mobility work. And then there's one makeup day on Saturday. Again, you can find out more about this program at www.brutestrengthtraining.com/brutegymnastics. Today's show is a little bit different. I'm joined by the gymnastics doctor, Nick Sorrell, the head of Brute Gymnastics. Today, we're going to tell you all of the ins and outs of the Brute Gymnastics program. Just to give you a little bit of background, over the past few years, hands down, the number one thing that our athletes and clients have said they receive the most benefit out of is the gymnastics program. Over the past year, we've been working on a way to make that available to people that are only interested in gymnastics rather than the rest of competitive fitness. So this show is all about that program, all the ins and outs, all the fundamental concepts that went into creating this program. And I really think that whether or not you're interested in joining this program, it's a very valuable 45 minutes of your life. Nick teaches a lot of really fundamental concepts that can be applied to any aspect of sport, gymnastics, or life in general. Enjoy the show. Doc, thanks for joining me again, man. It's an exciting day.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's definitely an exciting day for you.
As if on cue. All right, man. So we are releasing the gymnastics program today after probably over a year of hype. We've been talking about it for a long time, and it's finally here.
The Guns N' Roses album of the fitness world.
Hell yeah. So my goal for this podcast is twofold. One, I want it to explain in detail what to expect out of this program for anyone interested. But for anyone that's not interested, I want them to find value from listening just by way of the concepts and the kind of way that you set this program up. You have some very good metaphors that I think can be applied not only to people learning gymnastics or sport, but also other areas of life. So the hope is that anyone listening finds a ton of value out of listening to this podcast. So let's start here. How is this gymnastics program unique? Why can't we just go to a national level gymnastics coach and take their gymnastics program that has been, you know, developing world champions at the Olympics and stuff like that, and just give it to CrossFitters? Why can't we do that?
Yeah. So, what we've, spent a lot of time doing is trying to create a program that applies the same basic principles that you would get from an Olympic level, bodyweight program or using the principles of gymnastics, what we call artistic gymnastics, and trying to apply that to CrossFit. So, I think the wonderful thing about Brute Strength, and this is the thing that's echoed at all of the things we do together, is that this symbiotic relationship of all of the coaches learning from each other and building on each other. You know, it's a kind of a democratic system in which we all get together and we learn, and we're constantly trying to push the envelope on what can truly make people better at competitive fitness or really any other goal that they want. So if you went to, not that there would be anything wrong with it, but, you know, the idea would be if you went to a gymnastics gym, right, where they do artistic gymnastics, you would certainly gain a lot from that and learn a lot from that. But what their programs are designed to make you better at just that, artistic gymnastics, right? Or Olympic style gymnastics. Our goal has been to deconstruct that and make it to where we build on all these different attributes that it would take to be competent at body weight fitness. And then you can apply that to, most specifically in our case, competitive fitness. But by having broken it down to all of its individual elements and the absolute basics, and being able to dose those appropriately to our athletes, they can use those to do whatever they want, right? Like, so if we had somebody that was interested in just getting more fit at any other sport, right, we think that having this base from the program that we've created will apply along a wider range of eventualities for what the athlete would want.
So one of the fundamental concepts that you use to explain the way that you program is the idea of building a carpenter and not a birdhouse. Can you explain that and how that might relate to other areas?
Yeah, that's my favorite analogy now. I can't give any talk without saying that now, but I love it. I think when I thought of that, I was like, it's perfect. It's exactly what one of those things where you always thought of something a certain way, but you didn't know how to get it out. But the idea is that when we first started coaching CrossFit, or I first started coaching CrossFit athletes, I would think in terms of like different moves, like how do I get people better at doing a ring muscle up or whatever, or how do I get people better at doing a different trick? And then, you know, and then that taught them just that. It taught them how to do that trick.
Give me an example of that. What do you mean?
Like, so if I had, so if you take a skill that is, say, very similar, like a bar muscle up and then a back uprise on the bar. So a bar muscle up being you come from an arched front swing and then you collapse your body towards the bar and you rise above the bar. If you do competitive fitness, it's obviously something you're familiar with. And a back uprise comes from a hollow front swing and then you swing back and pull down on the bar. So if I ask a CrossFitter or a competitive fitness athlete to do a bar muscle up, if they can probably do one, right? Because that's something that is prescribed a lot in competitive fitness. But then if you showed them a back uprise, which is very similar, and if you had all of the body attributes, including the coordination and the strength to do a bar muscle up, you should very easily be able to do a back uprise, right? But if I showed them a back uprise, they would, you know, most CrossFitters would be like, what is that? I can't do that. That's ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and then you could pick any other number of analogies to where something, a skill that took similar coordination, similar mobility, and similar strength, they can, if the competitive fitness athlete that trains just to complete that one task can't perform that other skill. So basically their skills aren't transferable or translatable because they're just practicing all of the attributes in aggregate as one skill, right? So, but then if you broke down the skill into its components, if you broke down it into pulling, if you broke it down into swinging, if you broke it down into the different mobility and positions that it takes to maintain that skill, then we find that those skills are transferable. And so the analogy with the birdhouse and the carpenter thing is if you have a guy and you give him a blueprint to build a birdhouse, then any layman can build that, right? If you take enough time, you may screw up a few times with that birdhouse. If the instructions are right, you'll eventually get that birdhouse. Mm-hmm. But then you go ask him to build a doghouse, right? Oh, well, where are my instructions? I don't know how to do that. But if you have a carpenter, he can hammer a nail and he can saw and he knows how to measure and he knows how. And so that carpenter can build whatever you ask him to. So the analogy, I really like that analogy from a coaching standpoint because that's what I want my athletes to be able to do. I don't want to just teach them one trick and then have them like not – and then not give them the skill and the capacity to go and do something else and perform something else. And what happens if they are that higher level competitive fitness athlete and they're at the CrossFit Games or something and they bring out the pegboard, right? Or they bring out the whatever it is, and then their skills aren't transferable, because that, ultimately that's the whole thing with CrossFit, especially, you know, and it's wonderful. They talk about the unknown and unknowable, which is great. But for a large part, a lot of that unknown and unknowable has been pretty freaking known, you know, like, but, and not to CrossFit detriments, but the detriment of the community that we serve and that we keep seeing, oh, all, what they do is they program bar muscle ups. So let's make people do a bunch of bar muscle ups. Right. But, you know, if you have, you know, the head coach of, you know, Bill Belichick doesn't teach people how to score touchdowns. Right. He teaches people how to run plays and he teaches people how to tackle and he teaches people how to run routes. Right. So it's breaking these things down into the different elements on a micro level that can transfer to any number of skills.
I see a T-shirt coming out of this, like hashtag be the carpenter.
Yeah.
By Nick Sorrell.
Yeah. Mike, I'm going to be honest. I think we can do better than that, but I like where your head is at.
This is a kind of a small release, you know, we make 100 or however many we want and just get that out into the world
and see how it goes. We have a whole team of people that are good, really good at hashtags, but I think there's one.
we got little people thinking up hashtags out there right now.
We got little people thinking of big things out there. Yeah.
Another,
we'll get our brain thrust on it.
Another one of the driving concepts in the way that you program is this idea of practicing with perfect form so that when you get tired, you fall back onto slightly less than perfect form, right? How does this, so why is this important even though we see you know, top level athletes in competition with less than perfect form?
It mainly comes down to body awareness, two things that I like to talk about. One is body awareness and two is having more tools in your toolbox. So, so talking about the first part of that with the body awareness, the weightlifting thing is probably the best analogy, you know, because anytime anybody fails a snatch, they'll stop and they'll be like, I wasn't in triple extension or my, you know, hips did this and all that. And people become very attuned to what their body was doing because they get really mad that they didn't achieve that rep, and rightfully so. But, you know, in gymnastics, it's very similar, but we don't often think of it that way. If you do a repetition and it was performed and you did it in a way that for your body made it more efficient and made you complete the repetition better, or even just made you complete the repetition at all, then remembering what your body form was doing at that time helps you to replicate that and reproduce it. And, you know, it doesn't have to be pretty. Now, very often, it just so happens that pretty form is the most efficient form when you look at it from a physics standpoint. But what we want to do when we're practicing is we want our athletes to practice with straight legs, or if their legs are bent, they're bent on purpose, and basically recognizing what they were doing. Because if not, if you're not recognizing what you're doing, how are you going to grow and learn what worked and what didn't and become more efficient? So that's that reason. And then the other reason, like having more tools in your toolbox, is probably a good example of this is handstand walking. People ask me, what's the best way to handstand walk? You know, should your body be arched or should your body be in a hollow position? And if you're listening to this podcast and you've done competitive fitness, you probably know what I'm talking about. Arch position, meaning your back is extended, hollow position, meaning your chest and your stomach is sucked in a little bit. You know, or people will say, or should I do it with my legs flailing about, you know, like some people do the bicycle kick when I'm walking on my hands. Mm-hmm. And so if you ask the average competitive fitness athlete to walk on their hands, they basically only have one way they can do it, right? They can kick up, and if they know how to walk on their hands arched, they can walk on their hands arched, or if they only know how to do it flailing their legs, they'll do it that way. But if you ask a gymnast to do it, they can try all three different ways. Like I can very easily kick up on my hands and I can try to walk arched. I can try to walk hollow. I can try to walk kicking my legs. And then I can see what feels best for me. I don't only have one tool in my toolbox. And there's other examples, like with muscle ups, we teach basically four different, or I can think of five different ways to do a muscle up that all meet the range of motion requirements of CrossFit. And all of those different ways tax your body a little bit differently, use different skills and attributes. And actually very commonly in a workout, I'll switch from one to another. Some of our higher level athletes that have been working with me a while, a great example is George Sanchez. He's really taken that to heart, and he can do muscle ups several different ways. And, you know, to the layman, you might not notice the small differences in the way he's doing a ring muscle up, but the reality is he will very intentionally switch the way he is doing muscle ups. Like say if his arms are fatigued, he'll switch his form to another type of form. If his systemic endurance and his breathing is fatigued, then he'll switch to a different type, and he can do that. And so now, is that gonna, you know, turn you from a non-regional athlete to a regional athlete, or is that gonna turn you from a non-podium competitor to a podium competitor? I don't know. But the reality is, if you're looking for every little advantage and stone unturned, and you truly want to be excellent at your craft, then that's something that you can't ignore.
It's funny that this isn't more widely accepted in the community yet. It's just so apparent that people in every other sport do things this way. And it just hasn't, you know, CrossFit is such a young sport that it just hasn't caught on yet, right? Like a football player is going to learn the absolute perfect way to throw a ball, and they're going to learn that for 20, 30, 40 years, however long they're playing ball, right? Right. They're going to learn how, you know, the proper footwork. They're going to learn, you know, different types of footwork, different types of drops. They're going to learn, you know, what to do with their eyes, like just a million different things rather than just throw a ball more, right? Yeah. They're going to learn the absolute perfect way so that when they have a defensive end coming in at them, you know, at 100 miles an hour, weighing 100 more pounds than them, then they have this muscle memory built up. They have the repetition, the kinesthetic awareness to, you know, keep good form, even if not perfect form.
Yeah, I don't think you could find one person, a good example of somebody that's at the highest echelon at what they do, you know, whether it be a quarterback, a coach, or anything, that doesn't say that very thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's everywhere. You know, every single person that you hear talk, they just talk about the basics and being absolutely the best at repeating and perfecting the basics of what you do in every single task. I mean, you're right. And yeah, and I don't know what it is. I don't think it's anything anything about CrossFit in general. I think CrossFit in general, I like the base and what they teach, they have the thing about not being virtuous and tasks. And so I don't know. But what I do believe strongly is that that we have this tendency, because I know that I've done it too, as I'm a coach and an athlete, is to just walk in the gym and get involved in that passion of like, I want to just go out and do these reps and do all this kind of stuff, right? And I want to, and we were talking about it before we got on this podcast. I've, recently taken a step back from our last brute retreat. We sit there and we have all these wonderful coaches and people, and we have Adi and Sean and Kenshaw, and I mean everybody just talking about these very basic principles that have building your foundation. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm preaching it, but that's not what I was doing. I was going into the gym. I was, I'm like, I barely ever get to go to the gym. And then when I get to go to the gym, I go and I hit a CrossFit wad and I throw some weights around and I jump up and down on one foot and whatever. And then I just felt like crap, at the last retreat. And I was just like, wait, why do I feel like a million pounds whenever I try to do these muscle ups and things like that? And then I got back home and I was like, well, it was like a light bulb went off. I was like, I just heard all these really smart and awesome coaches talk about all this stuff, and I was saying this stuff. Maybe I should try it. And so for the last 6 weeks, I've basically been going back and doing all of the basics, right? Every once in a while, I'll do a CrossFit wad for fun. And they're great. CrossFit wads are great. But like, I'm, focusing on my nutrition, my mobility. I'm focusing on doing, the very small gymnastics drills and holds and things like that, pull-ups. And I haven't felt this good in a very long time,
Hell yeah. I love it, man. And just to be clear, what we teach in this gymnastics program is the fundamentals, but in the actual programming, we also incorporate what he's calling gymnastics wads, because people that are interested in this type of program want to compete in the sport of fitness, and the sport aspect of it is more important than any other piece. What we're advocating for is just a little bit more emphasis on learning the fundamentals, mastering the basics, so that you basically build a wider base to make a taller pyramid, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's go into kind of some of the specifics of the program. You have this these four characteristics of a successful progression: logical, linear, personalized, and incorporable. What tell us a little bit about each of those and how it relates to the program.
So the logical and linear kind of go hand in hand. It's a program has to be logical, and the things that should go first, and the things that should go second, go second. So logically, you should be doing a headstand before you doing a handstand pushup. The same way logically, you should be doing an air squat before you're doing a squat snatch. Logically, you should be able to do a pull-up or X number of pull-ups before you can do a ring muscle-up. And then linear, meaning you continue to march along those lines, advancing from smallest skill to or least difficult skill to most difficult task. Personalized, meaning you can do it at your own pace. That's one of the most challenging things as a coach, I think. And I think that's the golden ring or the brass ring or whatever. Like, that's what we're all striving for, is how to program for a global audience, but at the same time provide a way to give all of these individual bodies and individual needs, and that are just such an infinite variability. How do we give attention to that, right? The idea with the personalization of our program is that you progress at your own pace, and that it's a level system that builds your base, that allows you to go from the easiest skill and not advancing beyond that until you can achieve that skill, and allows you to do that at your own pace. And it's incorporable because each individual segment or each individual workout is pretty short. And it's not too taxing. It's about 10 to 15 minutes per workout, and you can fit it into a larger program that has other training goals, and you can afford to spend 10, 15 minutes a day, maybe 20 minutes at the most, on doing these tasks and fitting that in there still achieving the other goals you want to do. We don't want to spend so much time doing gymnastics basics that you never, you know, do your weightlifting anymore, you know, or that you even never spend time doing muscle up, you know, for reasons you mentioned. You know, you still need to do that kind of stuff, but the idea is you will be a lot better at doing that stuff if you spend this segmented amount of time doing the basics.
Enjoying this episode? Hit subscribe. We have more amazing content for you every single week.
The next Brute Strength Athlete Camp is on April 14th and 15th in Miami, Florida. These camps are for athletes and coaches that want to learn about mindset, endurance, gymnastics, weightlifting, and general physical preparedness. It's also for athletes of all skill levels. So whether you're still working on your first pull-up or you can do 20 muscle-ups in a row, this camp is for you. The feedback that we've gotten on these camps is really overwhelming. People are having huge breakthroughs in their physical performance, but the feedback that we're getting more than anything else is on what people are learning in terms of mindset. We really drill concepts and tactical practices that you can implement into your training and your life that are going to help you build a stronger mind. The flow of the day goes like this. It's lecture, breakout group, lecture, breakout group, over and over and over, so that you're not doing any one thing for too long. And we break people out into small groups so that everyone gets as much individual attention as possible. If you're interested in learning more, you can go to brutestrengthtraining.com/athlete-retreat. That's brutestrengthtraining.com/athlete-retreat. Hope to see you there. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox sends you boxes of meat to your doorstep every month or 2 months. These are 100% grass-fed, raised, and finished animals, and they are never treated with any antibiotics. I made a conscious decision this year to choose quality over quantity. So quality of movement, quality of relationships, and quality of my food choices. And regarding the food choices, I know that the decisions I make today are going to affect me when I'm 70, 80, 90 years old. And I don't want to wait until it's too late to start making the right decisions. So I know that I'm going to be eating meat regardless of what diet I'm following at any given time. So it's best to choose the highest quality meat I can find. And I know that convenience is a high priority to me. And that's what ButcherBox does. They send the highest quality meat right to my door, and it's some of the best meat I've ever tasted. Literally, the ground meat they send is better than most conventional steaks that you'll find in a grocery store. Grass-fed meat also has higher levels of vitamins and minerals, and there's more protein per ounce of meat. Some more benefits are that it helps reduce cellular inflammation, it improves brain function, and it allows you to absorb the nutrients in the meat better into your cells. It also has higher levels of CLA. With higher levels of CLA, you're gonna have improvements in your metabolism, which is gonna make it easier for you to burn fat. It's gonna improve your blood sugar levels, help you fight cancer, and even reduce your risk of heart disease. You can check out all of the packages and even get a sweet deal at butcherbox.com/brute. And again, you get a free pack of bacon and $20 off your first order. Another thing that I consider when shopping for meat is the ethics of the company. And this is absolutely not something I'm perfect with. It's just something I'm trying to cultivate more in my life. In my first semester of college, I had a hippy-dippy professor that showed us the documentary Food, Inc. And at the time, I grew up in Louisiana. I didn't even know a single vegetarian, much less consider it. After watching that video, I became a vegetarian for 6 full months. And over time, I just kind of lost sight of that feeling and that motive that I had to become a vegetarian. And so I started to eat conventional meat. And now I'm trying to get back into eating animal protein that was, of animals that were treated properly, happy, zen animals. And so really I just sleep well at night knowing that I'm eating meat from animals that weren't treated like a piece of shit, right? These animals are all pasture raised. I don't know if they enjoy it, but it seems like a much better life to me than living in a cage and treated with a bunch of antibiotics and all of that kind of shit. So it just gives me a little bit of peace of mind knowing that I'm eating animals that were treated a little bit better. Again, you can find out more about the packages and get the sweet deal at butcherbox.com/brute. You'll get a free pack of bacon and $20 off your first order. Go through the actual structure of the program and why it's laid out the way it is. Like what does a week look like? And also talk to the kind of general structure of, say, the first 10, 20 levels.
So each level has is dosed or has the same doses of the same attributes. So what I mean is we have our gymnastics attributes that we're trying to build in all our athletes include strength. They include static positioning, meaning being able to hold different positions that you need to recreate to get through different movements. They have dynamic movement, which is going from one position to another, like a archer or a hollow or a swing or whatever, kicking up to a handstand. So basically moving into the right position. Those are broken down even further. You know, it's just to briefly review the dynamic is broken down between bar, rings, and floor, which is handstands essentially for our purposes. And then the static positioning is things that are holds and hangs. And so hanging from a structure and holding a position are things that are supporting yourself and holding a position. And then strength is core strength, pulling strength, and pushing strength. And then we also break those down even further. And I have lots of stuff out there on this, and I won't go into all the details. But each of those elements is in every level. So you can't, if you spend a month on a level, you're not going to go a whole month without doing core strength, right? And so there's actually going to be two core elements. There's going to be two of each of those strength elements and everything. There's going to be two dynamic elements, and then there's going to be at least two static elements. So each one of those things are going to require mastery before you move on. So say if on a particular level your pulling strength is you have to be able to master doing five pull-ups every minute on the minute for X number of minutes, then you're going to have to master that before you move on. All of those things are mixed together in little workouts. So you'll have, say, in your workout, say if you'll have workout one, and workout one will show up and it'll be you have to do pull-ups, you have to do support hold on rings, and you have to do a swing on the bar, right? And so each of those elements will have a criteria to say, I have done this well enough to master it. And they have three levels that you progress through typically. So say on the first week, I'll do this number of swings and this number of pull-ups. The next week, I'll do this number. And the next week, I'll do this number. And if by the third week, you've mastered that and you've achieved that, then you've mastered that workout. And so that's one workout. Each level has three workouts. And so say on Monday, you'll have workout one. On Wednesday, you'll have workout two. And on Thursday, you'll have workout three. By the time you've done all three of those workouts, you'll have done all of those different things that I've mentioned. So there won't be any gaps in your program. It's well-rounded so that you have achieved all of the pushing, pulling, static strength, and all the everything, all of these different elements. In between there, so typically on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I believe, or sometimes we'll do on Saturdays, but you'll have supplements that you can do. And then the supplements are things that you don't have to master this demonstrate that you can do well and achieve, but they're just supplement like your mobility and other revisiting previously learned skills and things like that. So it's just like it sounds, supplemental work. Does that make sense? I'm sure it makes sense to you because you know the program, but
yes, it actually does. That's good. Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. So
if it didn't make sense to you, there's just something gone terribly wrong.
Right. will people forget how to, like, in this process, this, you know, what you just talked about are the fundamentals, right? Those are the base of the pyramid. But
right,
so as we discussed very early on, like, people, they compete all year long and they need to be, they're doing their CrossFit workouts all year long on top of this, and they need to be able to do the high level movement. So how do we prepare athletes for that and prevent them from forgetting how to do muscle ups?
Yeah,
while we're building those fundamentals.
Yeah. Just like you mentioned before in the preface of the last question was that, you know, you basically don't do a muscle up until level, I think it's 10. It's either 10 or 11, but I think it's 10. We need to have our athletes doing that stuff. Now, if you can't do a muscle up at all, it's a great way to build up towards a muscle up, right? But if you're already a competitive fitness athlete and you need to, and you want to compete at a higher level, you need to be practicing more often, right? The same way that, you know, while, you know, you're all practicing running drills in football, you're also running scrimmages, you know, so you need to be incorporating those basics into a higher level task as well. And so what we do is we have we've been doing this with our Brute Compete and our Brute Games Prep, our regular Brute program athletes for a while. But throughout the week, we'll give them doses of CrossFit or competitive fitness style Metcons, different skill sessions.
Metcons. And with the...
Why did I just get say that all douchey like that? I don't know.
It's okay.
Every once in a while, I do that.
I come to expect that from you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I need some new friends. We'll throw different Metcons and WODs and things like that that will incorporate those. So it does a couple of things. One, it breaks the monotony and it's fun, right? It kind of reinvigorates that passion for doing competitive fitness, not just like grinding out the basics all the time. It also just allows you to incorporate those things and see those gains and incorporate the skills you're working. Whenever we're programming those, we typically do one day a week. That's like a really long skill session, you know, basically 30 to 45 minutes of non really taxing work, but to where you do a whole you do a lot of basics, but then you also throw in some higher level skills, and it's just a whole day of just doing a bunch of skills. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have 3 or 4 days a week, we'll have those other kind of Metcons where, so at certain cycles of the year, it'll be mainly like progressions of doing a lot more pulling strength and pushing strength and things like that, like a building part of your mesocycle. And then at other times in the year, it'll be putting that all together and doing more like, hey, let's do more bar muscle ups, let's do more ring muscle ups, let's do more handstand push ups. So that's where that element of the program is where we take those basics. And, you know, we take our ability to tackle and our ability to throw, and we take our ability to run routes, and we turn that into a play, right? We turn that into something that's functional and useful in the competitive fitness world.
Mm-hmm. Have there been any, what have been the most common kind of questions that people have about the program? In terms of
when is it coming out? That's the most
common question. Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's definitely the most common question.
Once they're on it, what are kind of the where do people get stuck?
I will say this, man. When I first came out with this, I think I sent you and Matt Bruce an email. I said, this is my Mona Lisa. You know, I don't even know if you guys really knew I was working on this, but I just had this idea and I just rolled with it and I sent it to y'all. And when I did, at first I had this really long spreadsheet of like how people would progress through every level. And if they got stuck on something, how they would like go back and then what else they could do. And because I was worried that when people were one, they would get frustrated doing the basics over and over again. And two, they would get extremely frustrated whenever they got stuck on something for a while. Mm-hmm. And what I have been extremely like surprised and just really in awe of our athletes is that we don't see a whole lot of that, like barely any, actually, of people that get frustrated with the process and say, oh, I just want to quit doing it just because I can't do it anymore. Or we'll have people that are be on the same level for months. And I mean months. Mm-hmm. And they will still like love the process of continuing to get better. And it gives them that other goal. Like they'll be stuck on a couple of different skills and they will just work harder and harder until they get those skills. And what that does is it makes you more well-rounded. It doesn't let you move on and be fickle, right? There's a lot of fickleness in our, in us as people. And it allows us to be more disciplined in what we're doing, saying we are not going to move on until we have mastered this. But that being said, the most common questions I get are when people are stuck on those one or two different things, right? And mm-hmm. so they're typically like skill related questions, like, and what it does, is it'll point out something to somebody. And I'm not saying my system's perfect. Like it may, you know, it's not a scientific method. I mean, it's logical, but it's not, but like, say there are some things that I know are the sticking points, you know, and if I went back and I recreated the program, which one of these years we may overhaul it and rewrite some of the things and it'll be, but there are certain sticking points that I know people get stuck at, like the pulls to invert on level one are a really hard part. Some of the planche holds, I believe on level five or level six, they're very brief little planche holds, but it's those positions. But those are the things that really, although they're sticking points for people, those are, and I commonly get a lot of questions about it. How can I get better at this and help me move on? What it has pointed out is like the gaps in some of our athletes' abilities. Right. And common gaps in like the same way. So Sean Passage with Active Life right now, he's got me on a program where I'm doing more upward scapular rotation because I was having a ton of pain in my shoulder. And it turns out my ability to downward rotate my scapula, or basically like do dips, was vastly superior to my ability to upwardly rotate. And just doing that over a short period of time, my shoulder pain is almost gone, you know? And so the analogy is in the gymnastics movements, we have people that can do bent arm pulling like crazy, but they can't straight arm pull, right? And those are equally as important in what we're trying to accomplish for competitive fitness. And so you put them on level one and all of a sudden they've got to keep their arms straight and pull themselves upside down. And they're like, holy shit, what happened? You know? Yeah. And so
looks
I get,
easy.
Yeah, and it looks easy. And they're like, okay, I'll just pull myself upside down. They're like, no, wait, hold on, I can't do that. And so I think that's the biggest questions that I get, but it's probably the best thing about the program.
Is that it forces you to master each piece before moving on.
Right, and not ignoring certain elements, like, I'm just not good at that. Right. No, well, you need to be good at that. Because if you want to do bar muscle-ups, you've got to be able to pull on the bar with, you know, pull straight down on the bar.
Yeah, I want to highlight this. So a lot of people believe that once you can do something like a muscle up or a handstand push up, then to be able to do more of them, then you should just do more of them. And we've kind of talked about the, you know, we've already talked about the carpenter versus birdhouse analogy, but to kind of take an even different angle, like why is that not the best logic? If you know, I already know how to do a muscle up and I already know how to do a handstand push up. Why can't I just do more of those in order to reach my full potential?
Right. So then my follow up question, if somebody really asked me that, would be like, if I want to be an Olympic level weightlifter, why do I need to squat? Mm-hmm. Why do I need to squat once a week? Why don't I just do power clean and squat cleans all day long?
Yep.
Right. So it's completely, if you even beyond just like the philosophy of mastering the basics, right? Which, like you said, we've already talked about ad nauseum, just from a physiologic and muscle adaptation standpoint, there's only so many, if you can stress your body and do seven muscle ups, right? Let's just say you can do seven muscle ups. But you can do 25 pull-ups. How much, you know, and you can do tempo pull-ups and you can do weighted pull-ups, but you can't do all that kind of stuff with muscle-ups. You have so many more ways that you can adapt and cause muscle adaptation by stressing your body in different ways and loading your body and loading the movement of pulling, of bent arm pulling, than by just doing muscle-ups. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the one thing that we ignore a lot is what is the manner in which we're pulling. So for pull-ups, if I'm writing a muscle-up program, most of the pulling I'm doing is I'm getting people to do a lot of bent arm pulling from a mobile surface, which means ring rows, ring pull-ups, rope pull-ups, and things like that. So we're causing specific adaptations by loading the components of that movement appropriately. And then, you know, ring rows are not a scaling exercise, right? Ring rows are a phenomenal exercise. They're an excellent exercise. And we'll have people, and you can load those and all and deload them in different ways by having to weighted, having to do them kipping by using their hips and then tempo and all these different things. And so, like for me, an example from my own life, honestly, the time in my life when I could probably do the most strict muscle ups in a row was not when I was doing CrossFit. It's when I first came to CrossFit and I had been doing P90X for basically 2 cycles before I came to that. And that's not a knock against CrossFit and for P90X, but the reality is I was good at that because that's all I was doing. Mm-hmm. All I was doing was pull-ups and dips and push-ups. And so I could come to when I first came to CrossFit, I jumped on the rings and I hadn't done a muscle up in, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. And the last time I had walked into a gym, and I walked in and I could do probably, I think it was like 12 to 15 strict muscle ups, pretty easily. But the way that I did that wasn't by having done a bunch of muscle ups. The way that I was able to do that was because before I had done a bunch of pull-ups and a bunch of push-ups and dips and things like that. So just from a strict physiological muscle adaptation standpoint, it's better with these compound movements to work the components of the movements to get the most adaptation and muscle gains.
Notice, guys, how he weaseled in the I could do 12 to 15 strict muscle ups pretty easy.
I know. I didn't want to. It was actually probably closer to 20, but I didn't want to
I love it.
You know, I don't want to be like a braggart, you know?
So. Yeah. I was texting a guy this morning that was he's one of the best 200 meter sprinters in the world. His name is Leroy Dixon. He was on the 4x100 team that won the 4x100 at the last Olympics. They beat the Jamaicans. And I said, I'm doing this podcast together and we have this issue in our community. And I told him about the whole muscle up thing. And he told me running the two. So his event is the 200 meter, right? Mm-hmm. Running the 200 meter is less than 10% of his total volume per week. So like that's his event, and less than 10% of what he does is actually running a 200 meter race, right? Everything else is starts or distance or footwork or a million different things, right? A million different fundamental things that all play a part in him competing at his event. So it just highlights how every sport has some essence of what we're talking about, where you can't just do the one technique or skill that you're trying to compete in. You have to support it in a million different ways to reach your full potential. So
right. And
often tell people is, sure, you could do a bunch of muscle ups and you might be able to do 15 in a row, right? But at some point you're going to hit a ceiling. And by breaking it down and learning the fundamentals and doing it correctly, you're just raising that ceiling. So when you used to be only able to do 15, now you're able to do 20 or 25. So it's just increasing the size of that, like that, the base of that pyramid.
Right. I think that, and this is a little bit off of that topic, but the challenging thing that I love about brute strength is, you know, there's just so many things that you can do, and there's only so much your body can do and only so many hours in the day, right? So the art of all this thing is being able to take all of these different components and dose them appropriately for people and put them in, compartmentalize them in a way that they can do it, you know? And so I think one reason maybe why within our community people are just like, well, just do more muscle ups and do bar muscle ups is because people don't either have the time or resources to make a concise and potent and efficient program that will do the things that we're talking about, right? And so it's easier to just say, go do more muscle ups. So, but the thing that I love about our community and Brute Strength is we have all these people working together, and Nick Fowler orchestrating this whole giant operation of putting those things together in a way that that athletes can get better or can actually utilize and get a lot out of. So.
Nice. I like how you ended in a so. I was like, "Are you done?" I appreciate that.
I was gonna. I need like a sign off, like over,
just end in a.
Yeah.
All right. What can people expect from this program? What are they going to, just to wrap it up? What can they expect to learn and be able to do as a result of this program?
Just being more virile, smelling better, better tan, dental hygiene, just pretty much everything that you would want out of life.
So,
yeah.
I like that. Anything else?
Oh, you mean like gymnastics?
Yeah, what we else can add that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you need other than that?
Well, I don't know what else you would need besides those other things I just mentioned. But if you when you do it, I mean, the thing is that we've been doing this 3 years now, Mike.
Yep.
Results that we've seen have been really, really good. And I've been very pleased with it, which is why, you know, I said earlier that at some point maybe there'll be an overhaul and I'll go back and I'll fix some things. And I'm not in any way saying this is perfect or it doesn't need fixing, but it just, we haven't had to go back and do that just because we've been getting such good results with our athletes. And the results that we're seeing is our athletes are more easily coachable. And they are learning things more on their own. They're achieving, you know, by doing the basics, they're achieving other higher level skills and other tasks that, that they couldn't do before. And so if you know, the kind of person that would sign for this program is, and would be somebody that really wants to pay attention to the details and the importance of really being taking the time and effort to being truly good at what you do, you know, and that's what we're all about. And again, I'm not going to say that our mind's the best program or anything like that, but it is for the person of the mindset that if you're going to do something, you're going to do that shit right, basically, you know, and you're going to not want to leave any stone unturned. You're going to want to not just go out and do random things, right? You're going to want to be disciplined and know why you're doing something. And if you're doing something, you're doing it to get the absolute most out of your time and effort. That's what we're all about.
Hell yeah, brother. Appreciate it. It's been a long time coming. Anything else you want to leave these guys with before we sign off?
Man, just stay in school. Nice. do the right thing. You know, love people. What else is inspiring that people say?
That's just straight wisdom. Nothing else, Doc.
Don't punch people for no reason. Shine your shoes. I don't know, Mike. That's about all I got.
No, that's good. I think that's a good place to stop. Shine your shoes.
I ended on shine your shoes.
All right, guys. Let us know if you have any questions. If not, we're excited to start working with you. Nick, thanks for your time, brother.
All right, Mike. I love you.
Love you. Later.
This episode is finished, but your training journey continues. Head over to brutestrengthtraining.com/SSW and grab your free pack of 32 accessory workouts that you can incorporate into your training and start improving your strength immediately. That's brutestrengthtraining.com/SSW.